The scripture reading this morning is from the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, verses 3 to 11. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me.
心の貧しい人々は幸いである。天の国はその人たちのものである。悲しむ人々は幸いである。その人たちは慰められる。柔和な人々は幸いである。その人たちは地を受け継ぐ。義に飢え渇く人々は幸いである。その人たちは満たされる。哀れみ深い人々は幸いである。その人たちは哀れみを受ける。心の清い人々は幸いである。その人たちは神を見る。平和を実現する人々は幸いである。その人たちは神の子と呼ばれる。義のために迫害される人々は幸いである。天の国はその人たちのものである。私のために罵られ、迫害され、身に覚えのないことであらゆる悪行を浴びせられるとき、あなた方は幸いである。
Good morning. How are you? Wayne, you did everything perfect, except wear the Oklahoma City Thunder shirt. For those of you who don't know, they are...
MLB Western Conference champions this year,
Oklahoma. They are the great power in basketball. And all of you know that God is with the weak. Amen. And this year, the Los Angeles Lakers are the weak. God loves the weak.
More games than ever gone home.
Well, today we're talking about Matthew. You get in trouble if you speak the truth, Wayne. You know that, right?
The truth will set you free.
Well, we're talking about Matthew chapter 5, and as you know, this is one of Jesus' most famous teaching, one of his largest portion of teaching, and it's important. He starts off with blessed. Now, what does the word blessed mean? It simply means well off. Who are the well off? Who are those who are, I guess for lack of better words, other people envy? Like, I want to be like this person. And in this world, the well-off are usually the powerful, the rich, the famous, etc., etc. You fill in the blank and say, oh, that's who I want to be like, or that's what I strive to be like. But Jesus, he does something interesting. In his teaching in Matthew 20:16, he gives us a view of the kingdom. He says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. And is toppling down and putting things in right order, upside down, God's kingdom. I talked about this parable last week, so I won't talk about it this week. But Jesus brings a new order. And in Christ, our well-offness is not based on anything we can achieve or accomplish on our own strength. We're not well off because we were born into a good family. Or we're not well off because we worked hard and became rich. We're not well off because we're famous or any other, enviable trait. We're well off because Jesus chose us. Amen. You guys like to be chosen? You guys are ever in a position where people were choosing you and you were like the last one to be chosen?
Always.
Always, huh? I was playing basketball at LA Fitness. This was back in Los Angeles. And, you know, I look kind of like this. So I don't look like I could play basketball. But back then, I was still pretty good. And they were picking people. They usually don't do this at the gym, but they did that this one time. And they picked me last. And, you know, when you get picked last, it's not you didn't get picked. You are simply just, by default, you're assigned a team. So I didn't get picked, and I was upset. And I played really well, just to make sure that everyone knew they made a mistake. But you were not, by default, Christ did not choose you. He chose you. And you are well off because He chose you. We are blessed. Tell your neighbor, you are blessed. In Christ, you are blessed. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your participation today. That's very kind of you guys. And he starts off with, blessed are the poor in spirit. And again, last week I talked about this, so I won't talk about this too much. But blessed are the poor in spirit. And these are those who absolutely depend on Jesus. They don't depend on anything else but Jesus. They don't say, I'm glad I'm not like so-and-so. But rather, I'm glad because of the cross. It's not, I'm glad because I don't dye my hair purple, wear nose rings, have tattoo all over my body. It's not, I'm glad I'm not, I'm not a prostitute. Oh, I'm glad I'm not like one of them. No, it's, I'm glad Jesus for the cross. Because it's at the cross where I'm made new. It's at the cross where I have become a chosen royal priesthood. It's at the cross where I'm blessed. It's at the cross I'm rich. It's at the cross I am completely whole. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The second one is, blessed are those who mourn. Now, if you're not in a place of mourning, don't worry about it. Because one day you will be. And when you get there, the blessedness is this, that Jesus will comfort you. That Jesus will comfort you. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted by who? By God. So wait upon His comforting when you're mourning. In fact, James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. And you will face trials of many kind. But you are well off in those situations because God will comfort you. I hate trials. Let me just be honest with you. I don't really like trials. I don't like it when things aren't going the way I want it to go or things aren't going smoothly. But there's a blessedness there. And we need our minds reconditioned, transformed, our attitudes to be renewed. And when these things come, say, Lord, I'm going to wait for You to comfort me and I am well off.
Amen.
Those people on the other side of the fence who looks really happy all the time, I don't have to be like them. Jesus, You will comfort me. My wife and I, we have a friend, I won't say his name, but he was a very pessimistic guy. He's from the East Coast, New Jersey, so that doesn't help. He's very, you know, and he had a hard life. He lived a hard life. His family was tough, but he's a believer. He's a Christian. And he was just filled with a lot of just anger, bitterness, and you could kind of just see it in his face. In fact, you could see it in his body. Just his skin would break out, I think it's because of stress and just anger. And we visited him not too long ago. And he shared us a story just how, you know, he was at the end of his ropes. And he like sent out 100 applications for jobs and didn't get a call back. And so he went to Starbucks to send out more resumes out. And he said, God, I can't do this. He just said, simply, God, I can't do this. And he stepped out of Starbucks. And when he stepped out, he just started laughing. And he couldn't stop laughing. And he just felt God heard him in some way. And God comforted him. And at the end of his ropes, he just couldn't stop laughing. And when we visited him, he just looked like a completely new person. His skin was different. His composure, and he was saying, this is the first time I'm not going into debt by paying stuff off with my credit card. He has a new car. Man, you should have saw his car before. He had a really... Anyways, he was comforted. He faced many kinds of trial, and he was comforted. Amen? So those of you who are facing any trials right now, I just want to encourage you to have your minds renewed, your attitude renewed, and wait for God to comfort you. He will comfort you. Blessed are the meek. And Jesus is the meekest person that ever walked on the earth. And he says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice to victory. Amen. Amen. May this give anyone hope who feels like they're undeserving. He will not quench. He will not break you or snuff you out. He will wait for you. He is meek. But today I want to talk about the next three. And let me just read it. The next three are, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And let's just talk about that one. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now many of us here in America, we really don't know what it means to hunger and thirst. That's just a blessing for us. We don't have to feel bad about it, but we're blessed in that way where we don't have to really hunger and thirst. But there is a blessing for those who are absolutely desperate for righteousness. But in Matthew 5:20, later on in this Beatitudes teaching, Jesus says, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, so there is a righteousness that kills, that will keep you out of the kingdom. And there's a righteousness that will bring you into the kingdom. And so what is the difference? What is the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you might ask? Well, it's a righteousness that actually looks very righteous, but is not in God's sight. And it's simply this. He talks about, if you have your Bible open to Matthew 5. If you look further on, he talks about murdering. He talks about adultery. He talks about divorce. He talks about oath. You guys familiar with those teachings Jesus does? And he says about murder. Let me just read what Jesus says. He says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. What is that? That's interesting. The Pharisees never murdered. Well, I don't want to say that. The Pharisees weren't known for murdering or killing. Okay? Here's another one. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Again, the Pharisees, they were not known for being adulterers. And, you know, for divorce, he talks about divorce, and again about oath, he talks about making oath. And what it is this, the righteousness that kills. Very important, because it has seeped into every part of the world. In fact, I don't know every other religion, but it seems like every other major religion is based on this type of righteousness, a righteousness that kills. And it's simply this, a righteousness that is more concerned about what people think. It's an outward appearance of righteousness. It's doing the right thing. Don't get me wrong. Doing the right thing is important. Okay, don't murder. Don't adultery. Don't do the things. But it's also important what Jesus came here for. And what he came here for is that we not only do the right thing, but we become the type of people that does the right thing. Does that make sense? The type of people that does the right thing. It is a transformation. An inward transformation. Where it's not, okay, I'm not going to kill because that's not the right thing to do. It's rather, I'm so filled with love that I'm not even going to hate this person. That is, I'm not going to commit adultery, but rather, I don't even want to look at this person in that way. And only Jesus can do that. He cannot work for this kind of righteousness. This type only comes through the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he will, if you allow him to, transform you into a person that is like Jesus. Good news, amen? Just practical application. Next time you feel like doing something that is bad and you know it's bad, don't say, Lord, give me the strength not to do this thing. That's not a good prayer. Why? Because it's the righteousness of the Pharisees. You feel better if you don't do it. That's what the Pharisees did. They felt good when they didn't do it. But rather, when you have the urge to do something bad, say, Father, help me be the type of person that doesn't do this kind of thing. That's the kind of prayer that God will honor. It is a transformative prayer. An inside-out prayer. A prayer that you cannot do on your own. It is not behavior modification, but it is a transformation. A new creation. It is putting off the old self and the old way of thinking and the old attitude and the old way of relating to God of, if I don't do it, God will be pleased with me, but it's a new way of relating to God. Transform me, Lord. That is what the cross is able to do. Amen? Let's move on. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Amen. There are at least three times where it says in Scripture, twice in Matthew, where Jesus says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire good human relationships rather than religious duties. Amen. Blessed are the merciful. Are you someone that, if I were to ask somebody that's close to you, are you someone that is considered to be full of mercy? Or rather, a merciful person? Not someone who practices it, but just in its essence, you're a merciful person. Now, honestly, if you're a merciful person, it's hard to know. You know why? Because a merciful person usually goes unnoticed. They don't tell anyone. They don't say, I'm going to extend mercy to you. You offended me, but I'm going to extend mercy to you. That's not a merciful person. A merciful person, when they get offended, you know what they do? They get down on their knees and pray to God. And say, God, if this person is wrong, would you tell them? But I'm just going to bless them right now, Lord. I'm going to bless them. That is a merciful person, full of mercy. You don't hear too many, merciful person, I don't want to say complaining, but you don't hear them complaining too much. You don't see a lot of merciful person just wanting and needing to have their ways. Mari was telling me, or Lisa was telling me, how Mari is just learning how to drive. And for me personally, what came to my mind when she said that was those people that cut me off. You know those people. Those people that cut you off and then go slow. Oh.
Yeah,
see, yeah, I hit one person at least. Or, you know, just bad drivers in general. For me, it is so easy to just get really angry. God, change me that I will not be a murderous person. Amen. I need to be transformed inside out. We all need to be transformed inside out. Amen. If you think this sermon is for somebody else, well, it's for you, okay? It's for you, it's for me, it's for all of us. We all need this, and we're not there. We have not arrived, none of us. We're close, some of us are closer than others. But when I see that happen, when a bad driver happens, a merciful person, and it's hard to get in the English, but in the Greek, the merciful person is a deliberate identification with that person that angered you, and trying to see things through that person's eyes. And so next time when somebody cuts me off and goes slow, if I could just maybe remember someone like Marty, who's learning to drive, I could be very merciful towards Marty. Instead of rather thinking, oh, it's just an evil person that likes to cut people off and go slow and make everyone else angry. No. Now, it's a deliberate identification with others as what Jesus did, amen? Didn't Jesus not do that with us? And in Scripture it says, He was tempted just as we were tempted. He had all the limitations of human beings. He even was baptized by John the Baptist when he had no sin to identify with us. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Now there's a parable of the unmerciful servant. I'm sure most of you know it, but it's in Matthew 18. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me real quick. And as you turn there, just a practical application of how you could be more merciful, you know, identifying with the other person. But, you know, if someone offends you in some way, rather than getting in their getting in their face, pray for them. Bless them. Say, Father, I bless them so. Is that not mercy? In fact, isn't that what Jesus teaches? He says, pray for your enemies. Amen. Come on, that was a good one. Jesus said that one, and I'm just quoting him. If you don't like it, then you don't like Jesus. Anyways, Matthew 18:21. It says, Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive one who sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you not seven, but 77 times. Now that's not saying count till 77, and on the 78th time, let him know. Well, I mean, I guess practically you can't do that, okay? Just say, hey, you know, you've done this 78 times, I gotta just tell you, this is really annoying me. It's okay. If you're praying for him after 77 times, and after the 78th time, you can maybe tell them. But what Jesus here is saying, just keep on forgiving. And he gives this parable. He says, Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he begins the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Some of your translation says 10,000 talents. And a talent is worth 20 years of day labor. So he accumulated a lot of debt. I don't know what he did. Maybe he just borrowed a lot of library books and forgot to return it. You've ever done that? Anyways, left the car in the parking lot for too long. But he accumulated so much debt that in the next sentence. I'll say, since he was not able to pay so much that the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. So basically, he was going to go and become a slave with all of his family, and he will never be able to pay 10,000 talents. That's just something a normal person, even a rich person, could pay off. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I'll pay back everything." And I'm sure he wasn't able to pay back everything, even if the king gave him that request. But the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. Amen. That is a picture of what it is to be Christian. It's to owe such a large amount of debt that the only way we could be set free is if the king canceled the debt. That is what it means to be Christian. That is the good news. That God, the King of Kings, settled our debt for us. He canceled our debt that we owed him. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And eternal life doesn't simply mean going into heaven. Eternal life is a relationship with God. The gift of God is eternal life. Relationally relating with God. It says, but when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Very little compared to what was forgiven. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I'll pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, the master handed over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive a brother or sister from your heart." Now, I'm not going to come up here and preach a works-based salvation. And it's clear Jesus did not preach that either. In fact, Jesus was teaching to this. This is an interesting parable. He was teaching this parable to those who are already in. He canceled their debt. But those who got their debts canceled were not transformed at all inwardly. And they treated those people around them that offended them. And guess what? Hey, people are going to offend you. I'm going to get offended. You're going to get offended. I'm going to offend you. You're going to offend me. Yes, it's going to happen. But blessed are the merciful. Those who will be able to be transformed inwardly and realize how much they were forgiven and be able to forgive those who have wronged them. And if someone wrongs you, pray for your enemies. That's what Jesus teaches. That's what it means to be a disciple of Christ. That's what it means to walk with Jesus. What does that mean? That means if you follow this, you will be praying for me constantly. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. And that will be, I will be praying for you constantly. I guess that wasn't funny. But yeah, amen, right?
Amen.
Is that true? Are we going to misunderstand each other? Yes. What do we do when that happens? Pray for the other person. Be merciful. Remember what Jesus did for you. The last one. Oh, secret to answered prayer, I guess. Matthew, when he talks about how to pray, it says this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, as we also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For, and Jesus adds, for if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And in the context of prayers, it is hard for me to go to boldly before the throne of God and start asking for God things if I'm that servant that was forgiven so much and have something against someone that offended me so little. It is hard for God to say, okay. In fact, it says about praying, if you go before God and pray and you have something against your brother, go and make peace with that person. Does it not say that? A lot of times, unanswered prayer has to do with broken relationships. Because Jesus is very concerned about our relationship with other people. That is the second greatest commandment. And if you're going off breaking the second greatest commandment and start asking God for some things, it's hard for God to honor those prayers. I'm not saying it's impossible. But as we come before the Lord and we're not obediently seeking reconciliation, seeking to love others, I think it'll be to our detriment if God continues to answer our prayers. I've seen this happen a lot of times. I've shared this story before and I'll share it again. But there was this prayer meeting, healing meeting I was at, and they were praying for people with bad backs. And so they said, well, if you have bad back, raise your hand and we'll have people go over there and pray for them. And so this lady near me raised her hand, and so I just simply went and to go pray for that lady. And that lady, as I was I laid my hands on her, and I imagined in my mind this lady got into an accident and got rear-ended. And as I pray, like I normally pray, I asked them, okay, so what happened? So I could have a better understanding of what happened. And the lady said, I got in an accident and I got rear-ended. And then I was like, wow, that's what I imagined. I didn't say that out loud, but I said, man, I would have just said, God is showing me that you got rear-ended. Because then I would have looked really good. Anyways, so she did that, she said that, and then I said, okay. And then I remember someone teaching, when you're praying for healing, it's always important to try to forgive people that were involved in that, in what happened when you got hurt. And so I said to the lady, okay, did you forgive the person that rear-ended you? And she said right away, yes, I forgave that person. I said, okay, that's fine. And so I prayed for that lady, and I didn't know. I just prayed for her, and I left. And then a couple minutes later, she came up to me really excited, and she said, you know, after I said I forgive the lady that rear-ended me, I got healed. And I said, wow, that's amazing. Praise God. And so I do encourage you, as you pray and as you become more and more like Christ, there is an amazing thing, a supernatural thing that happens when you forgive and when you become merciful. It opens the door for God to do so much more in your life. So if He has something against someone, and it's usually for a good reason, I know, start blessing that person. Whether it's your parents, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's the person you're sitting right next to, whether it's your boss, or whether it's the person working for you, whether it's the person that just cut you off, bless them. Be a type of person that is full of mercy. Extend mercy. Be generous with your mercy. Amen?
Yes.
All right. The last one for today is, blessed are those are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And the pure in heart, it's a picture of a precious stone that is pure, I guess. So, you know, a gold bar that is 100% gold and not mixed in with other material. Pure in heart. It's like it's an undivided heart. Jesus says later on that you are salt. And if salt loses its saltiness, it has no use. If you know anything about salt, which I'm not assuming you do, but salt apparently doesn't lose saltiness. It is purest form. But back then, when they had salt, they had like a limestone. And it was a limestone mixed with salt, salt deposit. And so they would shave off the salt and use that. And when that stone lost all of its salty deposits, it was not useful for anything. If we're just limestone, we're not very useful to God. If our hearts are divided, we're not very useful to God. If our hearts doesn't have pure motives, we are not very useful to God. And Jesus talks about giving. When you give to the needy, don't announce it. When you pray, don't pray so that other people will say, oh wow, you're such a great man of prayer or a woman of prayer. When you fast, don't look like you're fasting. And he talks about these religious duties and discipline that are very good to do, but being done for the sake of looking like you're a very good person. Again, it's about an outward appearance. So if you go to a jeweler store, this one over here apparently is going out of business on Marshalls, yeah. And if I go in and say, what do you got? And they show me a big piece of, diamond, okay, big piece of diamond. I guess it would be like this. Big piece of diamond. And if they try to present it as pure, but it's not, I will be very upset, right? Especially if I paid a price for its purity. And so in the same way, don't try to present yourself to others what you're not. Be okay with who you are. And if you're a wrong person, be okay with that and just ask God, Lord, make me not into a rotten person anymore. Because only God has the power to transform me. Only Jesus can transform that. No matter how much I come up here and preach, no matter how much I pray, no matter how much I read the Bible, no matter how much I do what, if I never ask God and never go to the one that could transform me, I would never be transformed. I could look really refined. I could look really religious. I could look really good. And I could fool all of you. And I'm fooling all of you now. And I can fool all of you. If I came up and say I pray 5 hours a day, would you guys really, say, wow, yeah, okay. What if I was lying? And I just wanted to look like I'm, really good. I could do that. That's fine. What if you guys presented that to me? That's fine. You would fool each and every one of us. But you're not fooling God. And it is this blessedness, the well-off, are those who God will transform. The poor in spirit, the pure in heart, the merciful, the hungry and thirsty for righteousness. The good news is this: we could trust Jesus to do this. Amen. We could trust Jesus to do this in our lives. And from glory to glory, we will become the type of person that will not murder. Amen. the type of person that will not commit adultery, the type of person that will not give a front, and be through and through true and true. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for just your amazing promise for us that is so free, that it is free of charge to be mentored and discipled of you, Jesus. That you have opened the way, that you chose us. And Lord, we come to you broken vessels. We come to you, Lord, with divided hearts and ask that you would purify it. That you would transform us from the inside out, Lord. No more striving to reach you, Jesus, but we just humbly submit ourselves to you, Lord. We call you Lord, we call you Savior, because that is what you are. When we thank you, Jesus, we praise you, we worship you, we thank you so much for the good news. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.